Saturday night. It's a little past 9 o'clock. In fact, it's about 20 minutes past 9 o'clock, and I just got here. Now, Bill is never late. Except on this day. I don't know what happened, but my great thanks to my colleague and dear friend, Dr. Susan Forward, for sitting here. She had a date with her masseuse, but she had to stay here and go over it with you. And then, of course, you know what it is when you're in a hurry. Everybody on the freeway is out there, you know, they're stopping their cars and having a picnic and barbecuing hot dogs and doing all of that sort of thing. But we're here. And we have quite a night in front of us. As you know, if you've been with me for these last 5 years, one of the things I suppose that I want to do more than anything in the world is to go out of body. I have tried and I have tried. And today in the mail, I got 6 little booklets just today. And I haven't had a chance to start the process. But we're going to talk to our guest tonight about the out-of-body experience. This is the third time for him, I think, on the air. Jerry Gross, welcome to the Open Mind Show.
Glad to be here.
Late as we are. I got the booklets today, Jerry.
Did you finally get them?
Finally got them today.
I think I told Jim to mail them out to you 3 months ago.
Well, as you know how Uncle Sam is with the mails.
Yeah.
So I haven't had a chance to go through the process. I wish I could say that I was late tonight because I was out of body, but, you know, I could get by with that.
Yeah, I could.
But I didn't. Welcome aboard, Jerry. What's new in the world on the other side?
Well, let's see what happened. I haven't talked to you for about a half a year now.
It's been a while. Where it has.
Well, one thing. I moved from in the city out to the country. I bought a nice place on the St. Croix, about 35 acres, where I can practice better without the interference from the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most amazing thing that I did in the last week or so was, or last month, we'll put it, is travel up to the spaceship that's up there.
You went up there?
Yes.
What about the shuttle?
The shuttle, yeah.
How are things on the shuttle?
Well, I didn't get that close to it. I just more or less just passed by it as it was going. I didn't get a chance to really look into it because...
You didn't go in and check in on the guys and gals?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
It just didn't enter my mind, Bill, to go in. I just wanted to see it up there, if they really get it up there, because you hear so many different things, like when we got to the moon, like it was all a bunch of hoops. And I checked that out, and there is a lot of garbage up on the moon. I think I told you that last time when I went up there.
Right.
There's a few dead Russians.
Right, we know about
up on the moon.
We know about the dead Russians. They're there.
And there's a lot of stuff going on. Not going on up there, but a lot of stuff up, laying around up there.
What about on the astral level? Is there a lot of activity up there?
A lot. And there's going to be a lot more to come. I see something's going to big break this year or next year.
On the moon?
Yes. And
astral level or physical level?
Physical level.
Well, as you know, NASA has now got the okay for a moon base. Oh, it looks like they're going to get it. After the space station.
But
who else is working on the moon?
But I'll say this much. I think the Russians are much farther ahead on their space program right now than we are.
Well, they're in a deep space mode, and evidently they're headed for Mars, possibly the moon, but most likely Mars. They have a capability of going to Mars and putting a colony there now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. We have sort of contained ourselves.
Yeah, we got that one little toy they're playing around with now.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like we're just kind of holding still on that.
Well, I think there's some new technology in the work about lifting bodies that will change the American space effort altogether.
You know, it's like you talked about astral projection that you'd love to do it, you know.
I'm going to do it, Jerry. I've got
I
some
know,
books.
But when you get done with that course, you're going to do it.
Absolutely.
But,
you know, it's a funny thing. Robert Monroe will be here in 4 weeks. He'll be here in studio. Now, he's promised to yank me out of body, but I am going to have been gone and back by the time he gets here. Sorry about that. I've got that much confidence in you.
I know you will. You shouldn't have no problem at all because you got your mind made up that you're going to do it.
I certainly have. You know, now, you and I have just been chatting back and forth, but let's you and I stand back for just a second and put ourselves in the position of somebody who's hearing this program for the first time. They don't know what we're talking about when we talk about out of mind or out of body. No, out of mind, too, perhaps. One of the persons is Mike Kelly, our new engineer. He doesn't know what we're talking about. Would you explain to me what the out-of-body experience is? Because you don't have to explain to me, but explain to everybody. Let's assume that they've never heard of it before. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about astral projection, and it's the same thing as you probably, I imagine, most of the listeners heard about the people that had near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Where they lifted all of their body and they seen themselves laying on the bed or wherever they were, or if they had a car accident, seen themselves laying in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But what this course that you got and what we got is that we teach you don't have to have a near death experience to have this experience. That everybody can, and if they really make up their mind to do it, they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not that hard. We were all given the ability when we came into this physical body to do it. We did it when we were young children, but...
Don't remember it.
Don't remember it. Yeah, that's one thing. Another thing, we took on the material things, and we forgot all about it.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the babies. If you just think about it for a second, you're a very intelligent being inside this unformed body. It can't do its thing yet. That's a very boring place to be.
Very boring.
Mother has to feed you, and you have to lay in the crib. You can't walk. You can't do this. So you go, you pop out of there and do your thing that you've been doing for thousands of years, right?
That's right. And the thing is, you just let that body grow up a little so you can start enjoying it.
And, you know, I was taught some time ago by a dear old friend of mine by the name of George Fiedler that this human body that we have is nothing more than a spacesuit to let us endure the rigors of this very dense world that we live in.
Yeah, that's right.
It really is.
It's like a diver suit.
But for those who don't understand what we're talking about you having the ability to take your consciousness outside of your physical body and move into another realm. We'll call it the astral plane. You can call it anywhere you want to. But it's the same place you go when you die. Right?
Right.
And that's where home really is.
That's your home.
You'll find everything and everybody over there. It's a different world altogether. And those of us living in the physical realm have the ability to go over there and visit for a while. We also have the ability to roam the entire universe if we feel like it. Now, I know that that is contrary to the teachings of our great religions and of our great scientists and all of that, but nevertheless, hundreds of thousands, millions of people do it. You know, I'm sure that here in Los Angeles, they have to have a traffic cop above town to get everybody in and out. Every time we do a show on the out-of-body experience, I find that everybody goes, except me.
Is that right?
I'm the only one in Los Angeles that doesn't go out of body.
You know, the funniest thing, Bill, is on this whole thing. You know, like up here on our TV station, they had a series brought out by a doctor about how they're treating people to use their mind to heal their body, cancer patients and heart patients.
That's the only way to do it.
And they're doing it.
Certainly they are.
And if we would have came out with this, if they would have mentioned this 20 years ago, the medical profession would have threw them out. You know, it can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just sure. And then back 20 years ago, I knew you could do this, but nobody would ever listen to you on it. But little by little, this is coming out more and more and more.
Well,
and it's going to come to a time, which I would say in the very near future, that everybody will be still take astral projection like everyday thing?
It's a normal kind of thing.
Yes.
One of the things that's exciting about doing this show, Jerry, is that, you know, we talk about these way out things, but I also try to get involved in them. We talk about walking on hot coals. Can you imagine that? Barefooted, walking on a bed of coals, 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, I did it twice.
You did burn yourself, did you?
No, this is like walking over popcorn. And a couple of nights later, when I did the show, I had the surgeon there at the burn ward at Broad Memorial Hospital trying to talk me to come down there to get skin grafts for my feet. Obviously, that's what I needed, but my feet were just in great shape. You know, I didn't need to go down there. We've talked about the fact that we can create an electronic device that will create a lot more energy than it uses. Now, of course, all of the great physicists of our time will tell you that that's not so. It just so happens that it is so, and the physicists of our time don't know what they're talking about. And for those who think that you cannot go out of body, I just suggest to you, you don't know what you're talking about.
The most amazing thing about this, Bill, is that everybody does leave their body at night when they fall asleep.
Can't sleep without it.
And they don't even realize it. But if they like it or not, they go out.
They do go out. Jerry, I love talking to you because you're so down to earth and you're so right with us. And what I want those that are listening for the first time tonight, or maybe for many times tonight, if you have questions about the out-of-body experience, the astral travel or astral projection, whatever you want to call it, removing yourself from your physical body and going someplace else, find out what is over there, why you go over there, and what is in it for you. And there is a great deal in it for you. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Let me give you the numbers. All of our numbers end in talk, TALK. In Los Angeles, your number is 520. In the San Fernando Valley, do you want to go?
I'll go.
Because what we're going to do, we're going to take 200 or 300 people who want to go with us. And we're going to go over there and spend time with those marvelous British transmediums and psychics. We're going to visit the ghost houses. We're going to go up to Stonehenge. And find a lot of other things to do. They're kind of in our bailiwick. You want to go?
Sure.
All right. You're on.
Okay.
In fact, what I would like to do, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't have the specifics and the details for anyone yet, but we would like to hear from you, A, if you would like to go, and B, what you would like to do when you get over there, because we figure you probably know more about what to do in England than we do, because we've never gone. So if you'll just write me a letter to Bill Jenkins here at KABC, 3321 South La Cienega Boulevard, 90016, and just say London trip. It's no kind of commitment. I know I got a letter from a gal in Burbank. She says, I'm packed. That was it. You know, we just want to know. And then Chucky Travel will contact you and find out, you know, what you think is a good idea. And when we get the package all put together, because we'll all be able to go very inexpensively if you're a member of the KABC Travel Club. And, Jerry, I just made you one.
Okay, thank
you. And we'll have a great time. But, you know, Ken and Bob go everywhere in the Travel Club, and they have 300 or 400 people go with them. We want to have more than Ken and Bob has, you know. I've got a stronger group, I say. You know, they're on the air all the time. We're only on the air 3 hours a week. But we'll show them, right? So, Jerry, you can go. What about Jim Vogt? He can go too, right?
It won't bring them all along.
Except you guys go all the time, anytime you want to. You just lay down and relax, and you're off.
It'd be a lot of fun laying in England and coming back here.
Oh, that would be interesting. You ready to talk to the group?
Sure, I'm ready.
Okay, we have Paul on the line. Paul?
Paul!
Yes?
This is Paul. I got to call you in the afternoon all the time. I made it.
You did what?
I got to call you in the afternoon after hours. This is Paul.
Oh, hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Great. I made it, and your engineer was very nice to me because it's my birthday.
What happened?
So she let me be first.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Well, she's a super guy.
Yeah, she's great. I want to talk to Jerry about a few. I have his first course, and I really didn't apply it too well, but I've had some experiences that he might be able to help me with. I've had a few instances occur where my mind is in a different physical place, and I'm laying down. It's right before it's almost in the alpha state before you're falling asleep. And it just seems like something happens. I don't know if it's fear or what. Says, no, you're going the wrong place. And I jerk, you know, like my whole body just does this jerk. I just want to know, is that part of the astral body leaving? Is that one of the symptoms of people who aren't consciously doing it?
First of all, let me ask you, are you enjoying that course?
Well, like I said, I haven't followed up on it. I got the first one, and you all sent me a couple follow-up letters wanting to know what's wrong, you know. And I just been kind of procrastinating about it, but I definitely intend on, you know, going to the next course.
Well, see, I have an excuse. I just got mine today.
Oh, did you?
You ought to run into that and get serious about it.
Yeah, can I get all of them? Like, I got to just get the rest of the courses all at once?
Sure.
Okay, great.
But the thing is,
yeah.
What you experienced there, you were so close.
Really?
So close that you called yourself back.
That's what happened. It's like, but see, it's like this voice in my mind says, no, it's not right. Don't do it. You know, like fear.
You're afraid.
But that's fear.
That's what it is, fear. And that's one thing you got to get rid of.
That's the problem. And, my wife also says that, could she ask you a quick question? Because she has the same thing. She remembers some of it. But she doesn't really have a desire to after-project, and I tell her the only way you're going to be remember everything is if you do consciously after-project. Isn't that correct?
That's right. Because if you, when you go out, when once a body goes to sleep and you go out,
sure,
you forget so much.
Oh, I know it. I can remember dreams. I've been wearing a quartz crystal all with me. I've had this crystal on. And it's definitely sharpened my psychic abilities. I feel more sensitive to unseen vibrations.
I'm glad to know somebody else carries a crystal with them. I have one with me all the time.
Yeah, and I do feel the extra energy in that area, too. It helps. But could my wife ask you one question?
Put her on.
Okay, we got a double phone here, so.
Hi.
What's your name, hon?
I'm Betty.
Hello, Betty.
Hi. Dr. Peoples told me that at the waning of the moon that I lose a body and go to visit a spirit guide named Chang. That is...
I remember you, Betty. I sure do.
Hi. And I would like very, very much to take responsibility and remember these particular visits. I don't have any particular desire other than this to ask to project. And I am in... therapy, psychic therapy at the moment, and I was wondering...
Why are you in therapy?
Because I have some really deep thoughts. Why am I in therapy? Because I want to get on with what I need to do as quickly as possible, and I've got some hang-ups.
You want to talk to me about them? No.
I want to know, is there a way of consciously controlling when one does this after projecting and so forth? I mean, it's like, I guess I have some...
I told her about that light in the spinal cord, but I haven't perfected that method.
Right.
It's like this, you know, this one particular visitation is something I really want to be cognizant of. It's really important. It's really special to me, and I really don't care about the fact that I leave the body every night to rest, okay?
You want to leave the body and remember it and have all of those good things?
Yeah, I don't really care about traveling around the universe at the moment. I just really what I want to remember is this one particular visitation with this one particular spirit guide.
You want to talk to Chang? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I want to remember it when I wake up the next morning.
Jerry, what do you say about that?
Well, the best thing he can do is that is just to remember is you got to start programming your subconscious.
Okay.
And the best way to do that is right before you go to sleep, say three times, I will remember.
That's good, yeah.
And another new deal I got just from a spirit teacher of astral projecting in that, I'm going to give this to Billy to start working on this.
You got this from your spirit teacher?
Yes.
Oh.
Hey, listen, I'm starting tonight, gang, so...
don't worry, I haven't gone out yet, so you're not the only one in L.A. that hasn't gone out of body.
Anyway, this is the new breathing deal. Your right nostril is your positive nostril at nighttime.
Okay.
And the left nostril is your positive during the daytime.
Mm.
When you do this three times a day, you hold one nostril, your negative nostril. Breathe in deep through your positive.
Which is
hold
right.
It as long as you can, and let it out through the negative. And reverse it. And do this seven times, three times a day.
Are you writing that down?
I've got it.
Okay.
And this will calm the physical body weight down. And once you really start practicing this, you will start feeling yourself even lifting out. I've been experiencing, I've been working on this now for the last couple months with different people around here.
Good.
And it works. It really works good. But always remember that the right is the positive at night, and the left is the positive during the day.
So reverse it before going to sleep.
Right.
Okay. And also try to program the subconscious mind to remember.
Yeah, it's easy to program the subconscious to remember.
Right.
You do this about for a week, and there ain't going to be no night for you because you will remember everything that's going on.
Wow.
Okay, Paula Bennett, does that help you?
Great. Well, yeah. I'm going to try it, and
I'm going home
the next time whether it works or not.
I'm going home tonight to try it, and, you know, my wife's going to think I'm funny sitting there just breathing in bed.
Hey, Bill, do you think you'd have an after cocktail ready for when I come out and meet you?
I understand we can do that over there. We'll all get together and put on a party like you wouldn't believe.
Okay, easy on the ice, all right?
But you have to bring Betty along.
All right, definitely will. Don't worry.
Wouldn't it be great to meet each other without any inhibitions whatsoever?
You know, I have met...
I mean, just pure essence and pure love. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
I know a lot of people that do that on the other side, and they have a grand time that we can't get into here because it's a family show.
Well, we have something to look forward to, don't we?
Okay. Thank you very much, Paula Betty. Appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Jerry. Good night.
Good night, Jerry.
Good night, all of you.
Good night, Jerry. Thank you very much. We're going to try it.
Hey, Jerry. Jerry, we've got to take a little break here, but you know what I'd like for you to do before I do? You have this marvelous set of six books, or six little pamphlets, that lead a person into this magnificent experience. How would someone go about getting those?
Well, just mail their name and address to me to Search and Prove. Box K, St. Paul Park, Minnesota.
Search and Prove, Box K.
St. Paul Park.
St. Paul Park, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Zip 55071.
55071. We'll repeat that again because it is definitely something someone should
do. Bill, have I got time to say something else?
We're going to be here till midnight, Jerry.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to let you guys go ahead.
Anyway, what I want to say is that I should send you the letters of people from California that took the course and they got out of their bodies and they write and tell me how good it is. Or that took that course and they actually got out and they write and tell me about how good they're doing and they're so excited about it. It's really working out good.
You really know how to hurt a guy. You know, a year and a half you were going to send me the course. I got it today.
You're going to get out of that body if I have to come out there.
Okay. Between you and Bob Monroe, I think I'm going to get out. Can you hang on a minute? You know, and Search and Prove is deeply involved into this thing we all love called going out of body. Jerry, you ready to take on Janet, who is standing by with bated breath to talk to you? Hello, Janet.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Bated breath is right.
Okay.
I would like to share with you a class that I just recently have taken in this area.
Mm-hmm.
It deals with the concept of astral traveling, and I as well have always longed to do it and just never have been able to do it.
Have you done it yet? You haven't done it yet.
No, I haven't done it yet.
Join the club.
Yeah. The way this man presented the whole picture has given me the most hope I've ever had. First of all, he asked you, do you have a soul? And how would you respond to that question?
I certainly do. It just wants to stay inside my body, and so I'm getting ticked at it.
Uh-huh. Now, he would respond, okay, I would like you to look at it in this way. You are a soul and have a body.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a man who has a biomedical chemistry brain science degree from MIT and studying biofeedback and has the ability to see the aura. And in the aura...
I'm delighted to know that someone from MIT can see an aura, you know.
Yeah, it was so thrilling.
That gives me hope.
Yes, this beautiful man, and he looks like a real professor, you know. And here he's giving this wonderful lecture on all of this in this area of So he said he gave techniques to enter into the soul realm, which is you're in your auric field would shine, you know, like the halos come.
Well, we call it the astral realm. He calls it the soul realm. That's all right. That makes
sense. Well, that's like the entrance point into the astral realm.
Okay.
By meditating and into that area above and out of your body, you know, the just immediate area around your body.
Janet, the orchestra just hit. You know what? If you don't mind,
yes.
I'd like for you to just kind of hang on the line.
Thank you. Certainly.
Because we're going to take a break for news.
Yes.
Jerry, you can go get a cup of coffee because that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Oh.
Janice, you can go get a cup of coffee, too. I'm Bill Jenkins, and we're here till midnight, and tonight we're talking about the out-of-body experience. Yes? Hundreds of thousands of people, well, everybody, but a lot of hundreds of thousands remember getting up and leaving their body and going to far-flung places, not only on the physical plane, the planets and this Earth and all of its satellites and beyond, but also into the astral level, home, where the spirits live. They can do that. And to help you talk about that as a man who is very familiar with that and is training thousands of people to do it every year, his name is Jerry Gross, and his organization is Search and Prove, and they're headquartered in St. Paul, Minnesota. And Jerry is talking to us from right outside of St. Paul tonight, and we were talking to Janet when we left. Janet, what is your question for Jerry?
I'm sorry, I didn't really have a question. I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, well, that was neat. You know, I really envy you because you've been able to do it, you know.
Yeah.
Bill has not done it. But then again, I just got my course from Jerry after 18 months just today.
Yes. Yes, I as well. I've just received my information and am ravishly reading it here and experiencing the tapes.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us, but you have gone, huh?
No, I haven't.
Well, you haven't gone, but you've gotten close.
Yes.
Jerry, what do you think is the next step for her?
She'd be out.
Yep. She hadn't gone yet, but she's close. Sounds to me like
I think the main point, when you get to that point where she is now, is not to get too excited and don't let the fear take in.
Thank you.
Because I find more people, they have a tough time if you get real excited about it.
Yeah,
you get
correct.
Cool, calm, and it'll just come natural to you.
Well, that's my problem. I have almost gone a couple of times, but this marvelous euphoric rushing begins to happen, and I'm saying to myself, hey, I'm about to go, right? I get so excited I wake up.
Yeah, that pulls you right back in again.
Do you recommend biofeedback as a tool to aid you in relaxing without falling asleep?
I never really took that.
Uh-huh.
I really couldn't say that. You know, everybody got to relax in different ways.
Yes.
I mean, you could probably relax better sitting up.
Mm-hmm.
I relax better laying down.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So everybody got their own different way. Find the best way that suits you the best.
Mm-hmm.
I relax great in the spa, Jerry. I don't know whether I should do that while I'm in the spa or not.
Why not?
I may bubble right under.
No, you don't have to worry about that.
Janet, thank you very much
for sharing
that with us.
Bye.
And for hanging on the phone there. And
yeah.
Best of luck, and maybe we'll meet over there.
Thank you very much.
In fact, we're talking to Paul and Betty a little bit. We're going to have a party on the other side.
Oh, wonderful.
In fact, when we all learn how to do this, we'll take another one of those open mind trips. And you don't even have to be a member of the KABC Travel Club to go, because Chucky Travel doesn't know how to book this passage, I'll tell you.
Well, you have a lovely time.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
We have Glenn on the line. Glenn, welcome aboard.
Hi.
Have you been out of body?
No way. I'm a skeptic.
Oh, good. Good. What are you skeptical about? And lay it on us.
Okay, well, number one is, that's just based, let's start out with the fact, to be fair, that I've got some religious viewpoints about the thing. I don't see anywhere where it says that we can. And the other questions would come falling right in line. How come, why would we want to leave the body? And how come people feel that we've been doing it, that he feels we've been doing this for thousands of years, but how come nobody knew about it until just now if we've been doing it for thousands of years?
Actually, and, you say you have a religious background. I presume that's a Christian background.
Yeah, Baptist.
I want you to read very carefully some of the writings of the Apostle Paul. He's very explicit about the fact that he went out of body.
He did, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Read Paul.
Read Paul. I think probably some of the most revealing things about Paul's out-of-body experiences will be found in Galatians and in Romans and in the second book of Corinthians.
That ought to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and my second biggest worry would be, what if we went out of body and we couldn't get back in?
Well, Jerry, answer that one.
That's nothing to worry about.
What if we went out of body? How would we... You know, what if there was a problem in getting back in?
Is your phone ringing or is Jerry?
Yeah, it's my phone. Don't worry.
You want to hang it up? Because
I can't.
Well, we're having a hard time hearing everything here.
Okay, hang on. I'll put you on hold and I'll answer it and come right back.
All right. That is a question that comes up quite often, Jerry, about if you go out of body, there you are untended, as it were, it would seem, to someone who doesn't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm back now.
Okay.
Okay. Another fear would be, you know... When we're out of the body, naturally, you're speaking of the spirit or the soul being missing. So what is the body doing at that time? Could it not be occupied by another force in particular, we're speaking of an evil force at that particular moment?
Good questions. They really are. Glenn, let Jerry answer those.
Well, as far as not getting back to the body, no problem. Because you are, when you come into this body, you are connected to what they call the silver cord. As long as that silver cord is connected, there is no way that you can get lost.
Uh-huh.
And the only time the silver cord is disconnected is when you take that last breath, it can leave the body for good.
Uh-huh.
And if the silver cord is connected, there is no way that another entity can take over your body.
Yeah, because from a religious background, we worry about being possessed.
Well, that's the fear our religious background threw into us.
Uh-huh. That sounds...
That's one thing I'll see.
Well, you can talk about your religious background, but you're not going to find anything about your body being possessed in the Bible.
Well...
You'll find that in ancillary lore that was developed primarily by the Catholic Church, but it's not biblical.
We're speaking particularly in where we see instances where somebody has fooled around usually with something they shouldn't have and became... possessed, you know, and we're trying to make sure that this is not one of those things where a person should not be into. You know, for instance, like we talk about things like, we can go into things like a Ouija board or something like that. If people start messing in things that they don't know what they're doing, unless they check out the facts before they do, they might wind up with some problems, you know.
Well, I agree. The Ouija board, for instance, will bring on schizophrenia faster than anything I know.
Yeah, it has to be willed by the person something to happen. But if they're not a Christian person, let's say, and they're not held by God's force at that moment...
Let's understand that most of the people on the planet are not Christian people.
Well, Christianity is just a word. It doesn't mean anything, you know. But it's a matter of whether you believe... in Jesus, and whether you believe in...
Most of the people on the planet don't believe in Jesus, as you do.
Hmm. Well,
you got to consider, too, Bill, that you're Tibetan and your Hindus have been asked for protection for thousands and thousands of years.
And so do the early so-called Christian fathers. If you read the writings of Origen and St. Augustine, these were great exponents, and they were pillars of the church for the first five centuries.
Augustine was a great astral projection.
Oh, yes, they were.
Get two places at once and remember both places.
In fact, it might be a surprise to you, Glenn, to find out that one of the basic tenets of Christianity in its first five centuries was about reincarnation, life on the other side, life on this side, and the connection between the two. And if you want to find out more about that, read Origen and read St. Augustine and read Joseph Jonathan, the brother of Jesus, who was the elder of the church at Jerusalem. All of them, you know, taught very, very, and talked a great deal about all of this activity that was going on. And of course, in 522, or 532, I believe it was, all of those writings were sponged from the so-called Litany of the Church, and this was the work of Justinian, who was the Caesar of Rome at that time, who had great problems in his mind about the fact that he had put to death 600,000 people because they would not become Christians. And in terms of percentages, that was a lot more people than Adolf Hitler put to death for his reasons.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
and so
that...
So Justinian decided the way to get rid of his afterlife problems was just to get rid of the teaching. And with the help of Pope Jonathan and his wife Theodora, who was a whore, they were able to do this.
Uh-huh.
So you need to get into your history and understand more about your Christianity before you start making these statements based upon a religious and Christian.
Well, I'm not making these statements to challenge. I'm just trying to make sure that I have the right perspective on the situation.
There's nothing the matter with that, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, I'll tell you, it's the best thing to do, especially in the Los Angeles area. You got a big library right there. Go down and see if you can check out the 13th century Bible.
Uh-huh.
You will find every bit of this right in there. But what they didn't take out, it's all right in there. The church
uh-huh.
took a lot of it out already after the 13th century.
Okay, well, it sounds pretty good so far.
Okay, Glenn, well, your telephone is ringing over there again.
I think I better take it. Oh, they gave up. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate your call very much.
And thank you.
There's nothing the matter with the skepticism, but I want you to do a little more research, if you will.
I'll definitely check into it a little further, and we'll, see what it's all about.
Very good.
Okay, bye.
KBC time is set, but it's not a phenomenon anymore, Jerry. Everybody seems to do it except Bill. Going out of body. Taking your consciousness out of your physical body and traveling hither, thither, and yon. We have Ted on the line. Hello, Ted. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, Bill. I always appreciate your novel program. And hello, Jerry.
Hello.
I had just one little touch with an out-of-body experience, which was kind of a disappointment. There was an ad in a magazine, an organization who professed to teach out-of-body experience, and I wrote a letter to the name of the person who was in the ad. And I said, I will be sitting in my apartment from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. for the 10 days. I gave a 10-day period waiting for you to come and see me. And then I will know that you have done what you came to do. But he never came. So that's the only experience I had. So what I was thinking about now, Jerry and Bill, is although you... I've heard both of you say you had... No, you haven't had the experience yet, that's right. But
no,
Jerry has.
Jerry
and
does, yes.
The only thing is, he hasn't any way to prove it to anybody.
Well, I think you do, Jerry. You have a lot of friends who go with you, in fact, don't you?
No, I'm talking about me.
Oh, you don't? Oh, how do we prove it to you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's no way to prove it. Has the London Society or American Society looked into your practice there, Jerry?
Duke University did.
Pardon?
Duke University did.
Did they do a paper on it?
They came out and tested me on it.
Uh-huh.
That was about five.
That's the only disappointing thing for me is the fact that if I don't see proof of something, I don't believe it. And I'm a born skeptic, and you have to be a skeptic, otherwise you're gullible.
There's nothing the matter with being a skeptic, but
no.
I'll tell you this. The CIA uses out-of-body travelers. The Monroe Institute of Applied Sciences has a number of what they call explorers that are under contract to not only the government, but to major corporations and other research organizations.
Uh-huh.
Because the out-of-body traveler has the ability to go into the past and into the future, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
And you find... organizations like this using the out-of-body traveler for research that can be done in no other way, that really has to impinge a bit upon your skepticism, and there's nothing the matter with the skepticism. I think it's...
Except that, yes, there is, Billy. Skepticism will at times prevent you from learning some truth.
Well, we see that happen all the time,
but
I think it's a necessary part of our society to, as you said, keep us all from being gullible.
Yeah.
None of us want to be.
But I want to know now, that five little booklets you're talking about that Jerry has?
Six.
And he gave the address, but he didn't give the amount of money to send.
Oh, well, Jerry, why don't you go through all of that again?
Well, it's like a 6-month course. If you call once, you can get them.
I can hardly hear Jerry. I hear you very well, but I can hardly hear him.
Anyway, it's $30 for the whole course.
Like
six booklets.
Well, do you pay in advance? Do you pay piecemeal? How do you pay?
Well, any way you want. If you want to order one, it's $5 a month, and then when the month is up, we mail you another one.
I see.
It's best to do it that way instead of getting them all at once.
Well, thank you so much. Now, Bill?
Yeah.
I heard you say about an hour ago, you actually walk on hot coals?
Twice. And
you really did it.
And Thursday, I'm going to do it again.
You know something?
What's that?
Your word is proof enough for me.
Well, thank you very much.
If well, absolutely. Wanna... You're not going to sit here on that phone and tell people you walked on hot coals and didn't bring your feet if it isn't true.
I certainly did.
Well, let me ask you something. How did you condition yourself to do that, Bill?
It's all a part of that of neuro-linguistic programming, which probably has a great deal, is very helpful in going out of body as far as that goes.
Well, this conditioning yourself to walk on those coals and not get burnt. How long did it take you, do you think, to condition yourself to be able to do that?
Well, we're getting off the subject, but it took about 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours to do that. But we're doing a lot of other things involved in neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
I'll do it again Thursday night up at the Odyssey Restaurant. In,
Odyssey? Where is that?
In Granada Hills.
Granada Hills.
Right above the San Diego Freeway.
Oh, kind of far. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Good luck to you, Jerry and Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jerry. Let's give that address again, Jerry, where people can write you and start the course if they want.
Search Improve, Box K, St. Paul Park, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55071.
And it's in 6 booklets, and you
it's
prefer to send them...
booklets, and it's $30 for the whole course.
Or $5 per booklet, as
a... If you want to order by the month.
Either way.
And then, when you do start your course, we send you questionnaires out. We want to know what's happening. We keep well tab on you, see what's happening to you.
All right.
Help you out with all your problems. If you run into trouble or if you don't seem to get it, we help you out through that to answer your questions for you.
Very good. And we'll do that again tonight in case you missed that address. But I want to get as many people doing this and to help me along. You know, come visit me and yank me out if I haven't made it yet. Mm-hmm. We're going to do that one of these days. We really are. Now that I got the booklets, I really think that by this time next week that I'll be able to tell the folks that that I've gone out of body. And next week I'll have Edwin Slade with me. We're going to talk about the latest in UFO research, the amazing things at Nellis Air Force Base up in Las Vegas. They got a problem up there with UFOs. And maybe we can go up there and see them before it happens. We'll try that. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. My guest is Jerry Gross of Search and Prove. He's speaking to us from St. Paul, Minnesota tonight. And our lines are open to you to talk about going out of body. It's Open Mind. I'm so glad you're with me tonight. Jerry Gross is with me. He's with Search and Prove, which is a research organization into the out-of-body experience and what is found over there and why to go over there. And we have Starlight on the phone. Starlight, I want you to be nice now tonight.
Oh, hi, Bill. It's been a long time since I've talked to you.
It certainly has.
Oh, Starlight, and I'm sure glad you made it tonight.
You go out of body, don't you, Starlight?
I do, and I'd love to talk to Jerry.
He's right here.
He's, we need people like this fellow, because this thing is for real. Jerry?
Yes.
Oh, well... I go out in the astral quite often, and my husband does also. And either you or Bill, one of you had said that people, when they die, they often go out in the astral. Is that right?
Yes.
I have often had that experience. I'll go to the, I'll meet in the place where people have passed on, and then I often go on from there to other places. And every once in a while, I see people that I have known. And of course, you take people that are in the newspaper or in the theatrical world, why, you'll spot them right away, you know. And so have you talked to people in the... I call it the Valley of the Shadow because the Bible on the 23rd Psalm makes that quite clear. And so that's what I always call it, although I don't know what anyone else has called it.
Well, there's every reason to believe when you read David, who wrote Psalms, that he was quite an astral traveler.
Yes. There's quite a lot of it in the Bible, but people don't realize what it is. So often when we read the Bible, we think it's something way back in time. But, you know, it works beautifully today, right now. It's for us.
They were very enlightened people, and they probably got their enlightenment from their out-of-body experiences and experiences of the extraterrestrials.
Yes.
You know, it's like this. I mean, us people in the Western world were brought up that there's only two places, heaven and hell.
Yeah.
And the people do astral project, and they go to an astral, to the next plane of, I call it home. And it isn't like what our religion tells us heaven is really like, so they brush it aside.
Yeah.
And like you say, you go over and see people. Like my father been dead now for, he left his body about